and welcome to In Conversation, the audio podcast where we go behind the scenes on this month's featured work-life topic. My name is Julia Payne, and I'll be the host of today's program. Now, before we get started, I'd like to encourage you to browse our archive of podcasts. We have a selection of topics that may be of interest to you, including our podcast by today's guest, Jeffrey Steiger, on divorce, from crisis to collaboration, and last month's featured presentation on depression. The podcast archive can be found in the column on the left side of the blog page. Today, we are pleased to welcome back to In Conversation, Jeffrey Steiger, a psychotherapist and collaborative divorce coach. He has been in private practice for 20 years with offices in New York City and Westchester County, New York. Jeffrey is trained in the interdisciplinary model of collaborative divorce by the New York Association of Collaborative Professionals and the Hudson Valley Collaborative Divorce Association. But perhaps his most significant training related to his work as a coach came when he went through his own divorce. This experience awakened in him a passion to help others to go through the process in a more humane and less adversarial way. Currently, he raises his son with his former wife. Today, we're going to be talking with Jeffrey about how to talk to children about divorce. I'm pleased to welcome Jeffrey Steiger into the conversation. Thanks for joining us today to discuss this subject that is of critical importance to divorcing parents and their children.
Thanks for having me, Julia. You know, talking to children about divorce is a very sensitive subject. But before I go into some of the specifics about that, I wanted to say that it's very important that when you come to your children, you come to them in a good way. And while nobody can do this perfectly because it's such a painful and sensitive time, there are some good ground rules to remember before you have this conversation.
Well, of course, divorce is an emotional experience for a couple, but when children are involved in it, it can be traumatic for parents and the children. Parents want their children to come through the divorce with relatively few problems or permanent negative effects. What should parents consider before they start a dialogue with their children about their divorce and their child's future?
I think that it's important to remember that when you have this conversation, that you and your spouse prepare for it. When you speak to children, you should have a plan. You should have some kind of parenting plan, because if you come to the children anxious and you tell them before you have a plan, they're going to have a lot of anxiety about it. So it's important to come to them when you have some clarity about what's going to be happening. Whoever's going to be moving out, there should be some kind of clarity about where that person is moving to. In fact, it would really be a very good idea if not only the spouse that's moving out has the home already picked out, but that it's set up initially with some basic pieces of furniture so that after the conversation is had, the children can go over and visit the new home. It's best, again, when the mother and father come together to have this discussion so that it appears to the children that even though this is a painful moment, that the parents are coming together on behalf of the children to be able to support the children through this transitional time. You want to, at best, tell the children on a Friday before a weekend so that the children have a chance to digest it and don't have to go right back into life with this new, very significant news. If you can tell the children on a Friday night and then the family can have some kind of an activity together on a Saturday and even perhaps visit the new home, this helps a lot so that the children can begin to digest this information. You want to tell the children in a very basic way what's going on, why you've made this decision, and I'll go into that a little bit more later. You want to reassure the children. You want to give them room for their feelings, but you don't want to have to force them to respond in any particular way.
So when a plan is in place, what is the best way to communicate with the child or children?
Well, we will talk more about this as we go through this. Different children require different explanations depending upon their age and who they are. But what you want to do is give them an explanation that's really very simple. You don't want to go into your father did this to me, your mother did that. You want to give them a basic piece of information that says that, you know, mom and dad tried, mom and dad went and got some help. This is very hard. We worked for a long time on trying to stay together, but we think that it's best that mom and dad no longer stay married. You know, mom and dad have been fighting. We have some different points of view about what we want in life, and so we've made this decision. Again, you don't want to go into the gory details. You don't want to bring the children into the nature of the conflict. You want to try and spare them from being pulled into the conflict between the parents, because the truth is, this wasn't their choice. And actually, it's very painful for children who really want to be free to love both their mother and their father to hear that one of them is the bad guy and the other is the good guy, and to start to put them in the middle of this conflict. Studies show that that actually is one of the most damaging things that you can do to children. Even though the parents may have very deep feelings about the other spouse feeling betrayed, a feeling of injustice, still, you really want to stay away from all that stuff with the children, because that's not really the children's business. So again, you want to try and do it on a weekend. You want to tell them in a very simple way about what's going on. You want to give them a sense of what the plan is, who's going to live where, and when the move is going to happen. You want to reassure them that you love them very much, and that they will always be your special children, and that mom and dad will always come together on their behalf. And you can even get them involved in setting up the new home. You can say, you know, let's go over to the new place and let's see what kinds of things you'd like to bring over there. And, you know, let's get you a bed and a desk. You want to make sure that both homes have the possibility of addressing their social and academic needs, so that they can bring their friends over to both homes, so that they can do their homework. You want to really create two homes that welcome them in a way that they feel safe and comfortable.
But as you mentioned before, I'm sure that the age of the child or children is certainly a factor in communication and in methods of dealing with the divorce as well. So do you have suggestions that might be helpful for communicating with children of varying ages about divorce as well?
You know, what's really most important to children is that they want to know how their life is going to change. They really want to know specifically, what does this mean for them? So they're going to spend 2 days at mom's and 3 days at dad's, or 4 days with mom and 3 days with dad, or every other weekend. They want to immediately get a sense of what life's going to be like. They want to know if they're going to be able to have some of their special things at their house. They're going to want to know, you know, if they can bring their special blanket or their special toys. They really are not so interested at this point in the dynamics of the divorce. They want to know if they're going to be okay and if things are going to be as normalized as possible. So, and, you know, some children, they want an explanation. They want to know, you know, what happened? Why are you doing this? Daddy, don't leave. Mommy, don't leave. Again, you want to spend more time reassuring them rather than feeling that you have to answer the specifics of their questions. You want to say things like, I know this is hard. I know this is sad. We're sad too. We're going to come together. We're going to take care of you. We're going to get through this. That's more important information for them than the specifics of why mom and dad are divorcing. That topic of why mom and dad are divorcing, they're going to have a lifetime to process and understand. But in that moment, you want to give them an explanation that makes some sense to them, but you want to keep it simple. Again, a three-year-old is not going to ask for, you know, why mommy and daddy are divorcing necessarily. A 15-year-old is going to have more questions. But interestingly enough, children often don't ask a lot of questions when they hear the initial news. They want to know more about how life is going to be, and they need to be reassured about that. Over time, they ask more in-depth questions, but initially, just be prepared to reassure them.
So if you could actually tell us a little more then about reassuring and things to say and not say. What topics should be included in this conversation, and can you say a bit more about what should be avoided?
Well, what you want to avoid is bringing them into the conflict. I mentioned this before. You don't want to blame. You don't want to say, you know, we're doing this because your father did this. You don't want to bring up that, you know, somebody has a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Again, you don't want to bring them into the center of the conflict. That's most important. And what you want to focus on, again, is a simple explanation and a lot of reassurance. That's what's important.
So following the initial communication about the pending divorce and the plan for the children and what's going to happen to them and what life will be like for them, what tips do you have for parents in continuing this dialogue to help their child or children talk about what is happening as the divorce progresses and life moves on?
Well, again, you want to encourage them to share their feelings. You want to say, how are you doing? You don't want to force them to have to respond or to speak. They will respond when they're ready. You want to never badmouth the other parent. That's very important. Sometimes it's really, you know, you have to do an Academy Award performance on behalf of your children because, of course, many people are angry and they're sad. You don't have to be inauthentic. You don't have to act as though, you know, you're Pollyanna and everything's wonderful. But again, you don't want to bring them into the center of the conflict. You want to create as much opportunity for both of the parents to have access to the children. Again, studies show that the more the children have access to both parents, not just mom, but dad as well, the better they adjust. You know, we come from a traditional model of divorce where moms often get primary custody. They often have gotten primary custody, and they see their fathers every other weekend. And the truth is, this model is really changing. And dads have a lot more involvement with their children, with the raising of their children in a divorce. And moms should really encourage this. It's really best for the children to, you know, spend time with both parents, to communicate with them regularly. You know, one of the spouses has moved out, one of the parents has moved out. You want to encourage all kinds of communication, emails, phone calls, daily phone calls. When the kids want to call the other parent to say, you know, they did well on a test or they have a game tomorrow, you want to support that. You really want to try to come together as a family on some level. And I really believe, actually, that even though you get divorced, when there's children involved, you're always a little bit married. You're always a little bit married in the sense that you come together on behalf of the children to support their needs. One of the things that's really wonderful for divorcing parents to do is to create time together where the whole family comes together. Sometimes when it's a transition time, for example, when mom is bringing the kids over to dad's, or when dad is, you know, bringing the kids over to mom, mom can come in. Mom can have a cup of coffee and sit with dad and the children. Sometimes families, even though they divorce, they continue to have certain familial rituals. They still come together for a Saturday morning breakfast. They come together for the baseball games, and they go out for ice cream after. The more the family can come together again on behalf of the children, the better it is for everyone. And, you know, again, just because two people decide that they want to get divorced doesn't mean that they want to lose contact with their children or that they want to feel alienated from the experience of family life. Even though people move on and people change, people still, in a very basic, primal way, want to connect to their families. And it's up to each person how they're going to approach that. You don't have to approach it negatively. You don't have to approach it with bitterness. You can acknowledge that it's a necessary change, that you've decided to divorce, but that doesn't mean that you have to continue with bitterness and negativity towards the other person. It can still be a wonderful experience to come together with the children, and as the years go on, the children really benefit from that.
Jeffrey, your suggestions have been very, very helpful and hopeful, and I think that you have really offered a lot of concrete advice for parents to use while they are going through this process. Do you have any final words of wisdom about helping your child or children during a divorce?
Remember your love for the children, and remember that they just want to love you back, and you want to keep things simple. You want to reassure them. You want to come to them with a plan. You don't want to come to them chaotic and angry and sad. You want to keep showing up for them and keep your word. When you say you will do something, you follow through. You make a real effort to come together on behalf of the children consistently. And you remember that for the children, being connected to their family is very important, and you must honor that. Let me mention a couple of sort of basic books that I think are good resources here. I'm going to mention two books as sort of general books for parents to read to help children through divorce. One of them is called The Truth About Children and Divorce by Dr. Robert Emery. And another one that I'd suggest is The Good Divorce by Constance Aaron, A-H-R-O-N-S. There are some specific books also written for children at different ages. And for younger children, I'd like to suggest two books. One of them is called Dinosaur Divorce by Loreen Brown and Mark Brown. That's for children 5 to 8 years old. There's also one for even younger called It's Not Your Fault. And for children who are about 8 to 12 years old, there's Mom's House, Dad's House for Kids, and that's by Iselina Ritchie, PhD.
Great. I think that those should be very helpful, and I'm glad that you suggested books for both parents and the children as well. Jeffrey Seiger, it has been an absolute pleasure to speak with you as usual. I want to thank you again for joining us today to provide our listeners with such wonderful guidance on talking with children about divorce.
Thank you so much, Julia. I wonder if we might mention my website for people who would like to follow up and perhaps find out more information.
Absolutely.
My website is www.jeffreysteiger.com. That's JeffreySteiger.
Excellent. Thank you. So that concludes today's In Conversation podcast, Talking with Children About Divorce. Be sure to check out Kara's blog this month and send her a question or a comment. We'd also appreciate any feedback you have on this audio podcast. Just drop us an email at podcast@lifecare.com. Thank you for joining us in conversation, and I hope you'll join us again next month.